Welcome to the Crazy Cool Family Podcast with Don and Suzanne Manning.
A podcast where we share with you great insights about everything family from over 30 years of parenting 7 kids and over a decade of equipping parents through our Crazy Cool Family Ministry.
So let us inspire and equip you to build your best family. Welcome, parents, to season 6 of Crazy Cool Family Podcast. We are talking about that pretty much this year. I mean, we might change directions at some point in time, but right now we're talking about the relationships. That's our topic. And today we're talking about parent to kids specific and a little bit of parent to God maybe, but really our topic's mothering. And I've got two of the best young mamas with me. So Macy and Mackenzie, who have babies that are still very fresh from heaven. And we're just going to talk about being a mom and what it was like. And what we're hoping is that we'll inspire those young mamas out there, you know, that what an incredible season this is. But we also are hoping that we can maybe encourage you moms that have got 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, 15-year-olds to go back and remember what it was like those first few weeks and months of being a mom with that very, very first child. So that's the headspace we're wanting you to get into. Yeah.
This is Macy. I thought you were going to say like 5, 10, 12, 16 children. And then you said ages. And I was like, yeah.
That's way better.
Both. We're speaking to both groups of people. But yeah, excited to be here. My name's Macy. I'm the third Manning kid. I'm married to Jared. And we have one little girl named Sayla Suzanne Robinson. And she's a little bit over 6 months old. Kins, you want to say hi?
Yeah. Yeah, my name is Mackenzie, and I'm in the middle. Either way you look at it, I'm
sisters
the youngest of the girls, oldest of the boys is what I often say. I'm married to Parker, and Alice Elaine is our little almost three months older right now.
That's crazy. Time flies and moves so slow in mothering.
So let's unpack that a little bit, because I've always heard and agree completely that the days are long and the years are short.
Yeah.
And so time flies, but your baby is 6 months old, half a year old.
Yep.
Did it fly, or was it so slow?
Yes, both. Such a Hallmark phrase. The days are long, but the nights are
longer. The days are long. The nights are longer.
The nights are very long, but somehow the years are short. That's what the Hallmark phrase is. Yeah, I think it is. It's she was born at the end of July. Got to have her at home, which was a miracle. The whole process of having a baby, having her at home, her being healthy, Jared, my husband, getting time off work, like all of it. The whole first weeks, days, months of her life. Literally just felt like a miracle. And thinking back on it, like Jared and I will like lay in bed at night and we'll look back at like pictures of her from her first couple weeks of life. And we're like, wow, she was a weird looking baby. First off, like no baby, show me, like send me your creepy first week baby photos. No baby I've seen is actually that cute in the first couple weeks. But we were just enamored and we thought she was everything. And we still do. Like we're just kind of obsessed with her. And I think time is such a weird earthly thing, but it feels like time will move really, really fast when you don't want it to. And then time will move like really slow in moments where you're like, please just fall asleep, you know, or please just be done nursing or whatever, or crying or whatever in the car, make this drive shorter, teleport us, God, you know, like whatever it is. And so I think time is a gift. Time is confusing. And especially having pulled more all-nighters in the last 6 months than I ever have in my life.
Right.
Time is like, it doesn't really mean as much as I thought it did, I guess. It's valuable and it is everything. It's a very good commodity resource, but it's kind of confusing, you know, like I can't really like bottle it, if that makes sense. I don't know. Do you want to share about that?
And so, yeah, one of the things that I've learned about when it comes to time and children, and this is kind of my, I don't even know, my theology, I guess, about time when it comes to children, is that children have their own time. They live in their own time, and it's very different from adult time. Mm-hmm. We live in an adult world where there's deadlines and there's bills to pay, and then we go by the clock and we set the alarm and all of that. And children don't have any of that. Children, their number one thing they do in their life is play.
Yeah.
And that's what dictates their time. Am I going to play this Am I going to play inside? Am I going to play outside?
Are
am
you going to let me play this when I want?
Yes, are you
going
to play longer in the bath than I want, you know, than you want me to? You know, it's bedtime. Can I still play? And so I just think that's pretty amazing that you're even picking up on that conflict of time, if you will, with you and wanting to live your adult life. And then now you've got this infant who has her very own agenda of what time needs to be, like, pay, you know, feed me, mommy, and play with me and teach me.
Now I'm tired. Yeah, I think a good way to say it, too, is like it's a surrender of time. Like, I kind of let it go where I get to sleep this many hours a day, or I get to work this many hours a day, or I get to hang out with Jared and have, you know, uninterrupted conversation for this many hours a day. It's like, we don't live on her time, because I know that's not, like, the best, but...
But she is a full dependent on you, so therefore she does fully demand your time. So while you might not be living on her time, you still... have to fully give your time.
Well, and I just remember Madeline, my older sister, she's about to have her fourth baby, and I remember her saying, like, Macy, if you can release the 24 hours in a day mindset and stop living on that schedule and start living on a 3-hour rotation or a cycle of a schedule for the first several months of her life, she was like, your expectations of what you get or don't get will, like, be released. And so I really did kind of take that to heart, and I stopped thinking, like, okay, it's, you know, 9:30, let's get ready for bed.
It's morning time, and it's lunch time.
Yeah, it was a lot more like, okay, well, I think I fed her around 2 hours ago, and she's fussy. Maybe she's hungry again, you know, or maybe it's time for her to sleep again. I'm going to sleep with her, you know. It's like more thinking in those mindsets, which I think made time not feel like so daunting or overwhelming, if that makes sense.
So I love that. So as new moms, I think that we're just so vulnerable to be taught new things and to have new perspectives. And so your new big thing was time, just the adjustment of it all.
Yeah.
Kinsey, what's your
one
still,
of them? Doesn't have
fresh
to be
in
number
it.
One.
What's a big adjustment that you've had in your life? Maybe a self sacrifice or an aha or a revelation that you've been like, oh, this is what parenting. Oh, this is what it's being a mom means.
Yeah, I think I've babysat a lot of kids in over the years, and I think one of the biggest switches is, and people say this all the time, it's like, it's different with your own kids. But it, like, really is, and I think the piece that has felt so different is I had a 9-month head start than everyone else with Alice, and from that place, I was the most comfortable thing in the world for her. And so then that then allowed for me to be the most comfortable person with her and for her to feel most comfortable with me default. And it feels like that's what motherhood is like you get to be a transitioner for this little person to figure out what's going on in the world and then to keep doing that for the rest of their life in so many ways of transitioning into being a toddler and then being a 4-year-old and then being a middle schooler, which is hard and so hard, and then a high schooler, and just getting to be a familiar space, I think, has set apart all other baby experiences because the familiarity is so sweet. And even this, like, every time I look at her, I'm like, I feel like you're new to me in so many ways, but there's a familiarity between us that is so sweet.
Yeah, that's wild. I hadn't really ever thought about that, but, like, Sayla's 6 months old, but I've actually gotten to know her for, you know, 15 months or 9 plus 6, you know, math. Like, I got a head start, or you got a head start with Alice because they literally lived inside of us. We were literally feeling their kicks and their hiccups and, like, knowing them. I used to tell people when I was pregnant, I was like, I'm such an efficient parent being pregnant. Like, I feed this baby. I change her diaper. Like, I help her to
sleep. Her. There's no diaper involved when they're in utero. Yeah, that's what Macy's
clean.
Talking about.
Yeah.
I bathe her daily with fresh
amniotic fluid. I soothe her when she has hiccups. Like, I got her, like, she's comfy all the time. And I'm just really efficient. And I never thought about it like that, but, like, we're kind of the jump start, which makes sense then why they want us over most other people. So that's really good. And the element I thought you said that was good is I heard several years ago someone say, like, God the Father, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit the Mother, and it never sat well with me. I was like, ugh, like, no, it's a trinity. Like, they're all male. But if you start looking at scripture, the way that the Holy Spirit is described is actually really like nurturing. She, like, the Holy Spirit has characteristics that women carry, which we all carry the Holy Spirit as believers, but it's like a guide, you know, or a counselor or a comforter, you know, those are words that it's like
the ever-present help in time of
helper,
need.
Helper, yes.
I feel like that is the title of mother, ever-present help in time of need. That's my mother.
Yeah, that's so good. So like, as you're saying all that, I was like, well, that makes sense that like God wants us to walk closely with the Holy Spirit, just like a baby walks closely with its mother or is held closely with its mother in those first days, years, all that. I think that's really good.
So good. So time is a shift, and then also just realizing you're bridging the gap of this little person from living from heaven to in utero to here on earth.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Mom? Do you remember? Biggest adjustment with your first baby? Was it 35 years ago?
Yeah. Is that how long it was? 35?
I didn't mean to age you.
No, yeah. No,
I was just thinking, help mom go back.
There's not one thing you're doing to age me. It's just happening as time is clicking
help,
by.
Help all those mamas that are like, have 14-year-olds, you know, like, what do you remember one of the biggest adjustments or one of the biggest things?
Yeah, so I think the biggest adjustment, and you touched on it, Macy, is the self-sacrifice. The fully, I mean, and I think that I know that dads have an adjustment when a child is added to the home, and for sure when the second child is added, you know, dad picks up a lot of slack with the first child, but when the first child's there, it's so much the mom. And I just remember with Molly, just the self-sacrifice, the constant, the never ending, and it not being like, when we say self-sacrificing, there's a part of that element that's like, oh, it's hard. But with a mom, it's never registered. Like, the word hard might come in and we might think this is hard or this is difficult, but there's never any question that we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And that we have what it takes, and that God's given us exactly what we need to sacrifice. We sacrificed our body, growing them in our body. Mm-hmm. We sacrificed the exit as they came out, whatever way they came out. We sacrifice as we feed them. We sacrifice our sleep. We sacrifice our time. Yeah. I had a mom tell me the other day that she had an accident in her pants because she was holding the baby and couldn't put the baby down because she couldn't get to the bathroom in time. And that's what we do. I can't even tell you how many times I did.
My mom's such a pushover. Golly, put your baby down for 5 seconds. Go to the bathroom. That's ridiculous.
It happens. That's what we do as moms. We self-sacrifice to the highest level. Eat. We don't eat. Don't ever stop. Madeline never stops to eat.
It's the mom diet.
Yeah,
it's the mom diet.
She just eats what the kids didn't eat off of their plates. And so anyway, that was my biggest adjustment. And then to kind of go off what Mackenzie said, my biggest aha was I had no idea that I'm going to cry, that I could love Molly as much as I did from the moment she was born. And then each one of you, as y'all were at it, it was shocking. I mean, and then now as a grandma, I just am awed. Like, all day long I've hung out with Allison. I'm like, I can't love you anymore. I can't possibly love you anymore. And Sayla, it's like, there's nothing you can do that would make me love you anymore. Yeah. I mean, I just adore you. And so that's the part that's awesome for
me. The adjustment and the love. I love that. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I didn't know if you were asking. No.
I was going to say, just really quick, I was going to say, like, something I'm curious about. Kinsey and I have, I would say Kinsey's plate has consistently been more full than mine, but just in each season, you know, in, like, middle school, high school, college, post-college, all this stuff. Kinsey just does a really good job of being intentional and filling her plate with intentional things. But now that, like, married, baby, and now, like, we're falling back into our full-time rhythms and jobs. Like, I'm just curious, like, how do you feel like you're doing? What are some of the, like, wins and what are some of the struggles with being, I would say you're still pretty postpartum, wrapping up the fourth quarter, you know, of pregnancy. But with all the rhythms and all the things on your plate, like, overall, how do you feel like you're doing, wins and struggles? If you want to, like, list a few and maybe... maybe make some moms out there, new dads out there, feel a little known.
So some context, I'm finishing my degree in counseling, and that takes about 10 hours out, like, where someone needs to be watching Alice, so I can do that, and then other time outside of that. And I would say some of the biggest wins is I get to have people in my house, and they get to like love my baby, and it allows for me to then come back and love my baby better because I've had a space that's separate, and the day-to-day doesn't feel as monotonous because I'm with her all day, every day. There is a piece of someone else is with her, able to love her, and then I'm able to get her back and love her from a place of missing instead of a place of, yep, we've been together all day long. So that feels like a win I wasn't expecting. And another win to that is just really loving my community and the people around. I've just loved my support system throughout the entire process, and I would not be where I am in postpartum if it wasn't for support of my family, but also the community that we're here around. And it feels like in postpartum and family life, there's an opportunity for the community to get to rise up. Sometimes they don't rise up, and I've heard of plenty of people's postpartum experiences that are really, really hard because of their lack of support. But as someone who really does feel like I had and have still do have the best support system, it goes leaps and bounds. So my recovery has just felt really sweet, and I would say that's like one of the biggest wins.
Yeah, you sent me a podcast at some point that was talking about like bringing people around you. Seven Sisters podcast, and it was basically just like pick a group of people and give them a specific job to come to your house and to be your village that's going to help not just raise your baby but like bring you back into society and community. And I feel like you did a great job of that. I don't know if you got all seven, but it was like you had these women coming out of the woodworks or people or friends or whatever just to help you and Parker get back on your feet. And it was like a really beautiful way to like to adjust, I guess, if you could say, because having a baby is, I would say, is probably the biggest adjustment other than getting married that we experience. Maybe the, like, adding children is a big adjustment, but I feel like you did it with a lot of, like, wins because of community. And I think that's important for people to know. Like, that's why being a part of a local church is so essential. It's like, that's where those trusted people come from. That's why being, not just going on a Sunday, but like being in a small group and being known in a discipleship group or setting with other moms, other families, like that's where those well of resources come from. We have the life group that I'm in it with my older sister, and we have four women that are going to be having a baby in the next couple months. And it's like they need help. Like they actually need the other women in the life group to make them meals, to offer to watch their kids, to come clean their house. Like, yes, they can do it, but it's like, why would you not invite your community in to do life with? It just feels like kind of what the church is supposed to be. And if you're not in the church, then how would you get to be a part of the way God designed it? So.
Yeah, so that was one of the things. Kinsey always challenges us to do whatever it is we're doing better, you know. And so I think postpartum was one of the things that we all, I mean, looked back and said, oh, she
crushed it.
Yeah, she crushed it. She's the last one, the last sister to have a baby. So everybody's already had a baby before her. Madeline's had three. I mean, but Madeline's with this fourth baby, they're all like, I'm going to do it like Mackenzie did it.
Yeah.
And so, and I look back at mine was insane. I think I was on Molly was a week old and I was on an airplane home. I mean, and she was 2 weeks old and I had started 18 hours of schoolwork.
Crazy.
And she was 3 weeks old and I started student teaching. I mean, it was just insane what I took on. It was not wise, not good. All the information out there now. But what Kinsey did was she, what's the 5-5-5 again? Just 5 days,
five days around your bed. Look it up. The postpartum 5-5-5.
Yeah, maybe 5 days in your house or something like that, where you're around in your bed, around
basically
your
basically like 2 weeks where you're not really getting back into any sort of rhythm. So the first 5 days you're just in your bed. The first five, I mean, obviously getting up to use the restroom, do what you need to do, but it's like people are coming to you.
Yeah.
Then in your baby. Or no people, if that's what you prefer.
Yeah.
And the next 5 days are like around your bed, but you're still mainly there. And then I think the next five are like venturing out into parts of your house or.
And I just think it's so wise because it allows the woman's body to heal and it allows that bond with the baby for sure, but it's that transition. So you've had that bond with them being in utero and now to be on the outside. And that's one of those times that it goes so fast and so slow. Like we looked up and it had been a week.
Yeah.
And we're like, I can't believe it's been a week with Macy too, because I got to be here for the first couple of weeks with both of them. And we looked up and it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's day seven.
It's day seven. Yeah, this baby's a week old. I can't believe this baby's a week old. And so we encourage you to do that. But not only, I mean, you know, a lot of you moms out there probably aren't having babies, but are done having babies. But I just want to encourage you to give yourself space in whatever it is you are having that's postpartum, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
If you're, I mean, if it's a physical thing, if it's a surgery or something like that, like Don's dad just passed away. And I would say, I mean, postpartum is not the right word, but post-grief maybe.
Yeah, totally.
To take space and just allow yourself to feel it and grieve it. And
well, I think this topic is kind of touchy too, because a lot of times women go into birth, especially your first birth, not knowing what it's going to be like, having an expectation that's not met, whether your birth takes a sideways turn and it turns into an emergency or something like that. It's like you could have disappointment, trauma, sadness, or even just like loneliness connected to your first birth experience. And that's something Kinsey and I are both pretty passionate about, is like part of our mark or our call as believers, we believe, is like not just living every day abundantly to the Lord, but like being willing to go back and invite Jesus in for inner healing, for like trauma or anything that like you experienced as a human on your own, whether it was in your control or not. Inviting Jesus in and asking him the simple question, like, where were you? Like, where were you when I was, you know, in labor with my first baby and I was alone? You know, like, where were you when it didn't go the way I wanted? And so even that's just an encouragement. Like, you could be so far out of having babies in whatever, whoever's listening to this, and you're like, this isn't relevant to me. I'm turning this off. But maybe you need to hear this, that like, hey, there could be an invitation from God to go back to every single one of your pregnancies, births, postpartums, and invite Jesus in and get his perspective on it, because you don't want to carry it into whatever. If you're not a grandma yet, you don't want to carry it into being a grandma and being a fearful grandma every time you have an expected baby coming, or like, there is a lot of value in inner healing, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, that just reminds me, Macy, your birth took me by surprise, because you broke the waters.
Busted out.
3 weeks early, and I was not anywhere near prepared. I mean, Alan was only 18 months old, and I remember having to go to the hospital and being put on Pitocin, and I didn't want an epidural, and so I was on Pitocin without an epidural, and it just didn't, I had had this ideal of how I wanted it to be, and it was not. And I went back and I rewrote the story, and I asked Jesus where he was in that, and he was like, I was right there. I was in utero with her. I was like, come on, girl, you got this, you know? And so it was beautiful. And so I rewrote it, and now I look back at your birth and am grateful for it. And Maddox is too. Maddox had a very traumatic little birth. His little shoulders got stuck, and the Lord was right there. I mean, I delivered him in a bathtub, and I very much picture Jesus is at the end of the bathtub, and he's just grinning, you know, like this is life. Choose life. You're living life. You're choosing life. There's life. And so that's a great thing. I'm glad you brought that up, that sometimes as moms, from the very beginning of our mothering experience with the birth process, we have a wound or a hurt because there was an unmet expectation. And so I think that's great. Just to go back and give that to the Lord and ask him, where were you? What did you say? And imagine, use your imagination to imagine Jesus being in that room while you're giving birth. And what is he saying? And what is he doing? It's always so sweet when he shows up.
And he does. Like, he's just really good. And he wants to show you his perspective of any given moment or memory. And he usually writes it. If he doesn't rewrite it, he writes it for the better.
Right.
Like, he heals it and restores it because he's faithful to do that.
Okay, so another question. What has surprised you the most about these little people that you've brought into this world? Because did you have an ideal of what they would look like? And did they come out looking different? And are they acting different? Are they responding different?
Alice looks nothing like me.
You wounded? Are you just
no, not at all.
You can't change that. Sorry,
Mary handsome, but there's definitely been a few times or a few weeks that have passed. I'm like, who are you? You're not my baby. Like, whose baby am I taking care of? She's blue eyes right now, very bald, but maybe we'll have dark hair. Maybe
like Mackenzie's got dark hair, and she's like, Mom, I think she's gonna have dark hair, and I just dashed, and I was like, oh no, girl, I think that's red. I think that is going to be blonde or red. She's like, really? Not that blonde or red is bad. That's not what she meant. But she's like, I have dark hair. Something.
But she's so sweet, and it's been really fun to get to watch her go from being a little blob to being smiley and laughing and making all of her little coos and sounds. And I know that it just gets more and more and more, and then she'll get squealy and loud, and I'll be like, stop. But for now, it's like there's just this really sweet piece of getting to watch them develop into, like, every week having new developmental things. And we have a friend who has a baby that's a week and a half older than ours, and there's often times where they're like, this is what's happening right now, and then that happens for us that next week, and we're like, no, we're having that happen.
Us too.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm just slightly ahead of, like, several of my friends that had their first babies, including Kinsey, and, like, I don't know. I think everything is surprising. Like, I had friends... they're still my friends. I have friends who were like super loosey-goosey with sleeping. They did co-sleeping, you know, they just fed on demand. Like, they're just like, whatever goes, goes. And I remember being like, no way, you know, like, I'm going to have this 3-hour schedule and I'm going to have my baby sleeping in her bed by night one, you know, just like all these like expectations of myself, really, not even my baby, just myself. And my mom literally just told me today, I was like holding Sayla, and she was like, you're kind of a pushover, do you? Like, Macy, that's not how I thought you. I didn't ever think you were like, you're not a pushover in real life. Why are you letting this?
And I was 7, 8, 12 pounds. Yeah. I don't know how much she weighs.
And I was like, I totally am. Like,
well, she's really cute.
Oh my gosh, she's so cute. I think that's what surprised me, is that maybe I set too low of expectations of her and too high of expectations of me. But in my head, I was like, oh, she's just going to be ugly. You know, like for the first couple months, don't plan. I mean, I asked God for her to be beautiful, but I'm like, just don't expect for her to be cute, because no babies are cute when they're little. And I think she's very cute. Like, she really is. And like, I literally would ask God, I'd say, God, please don't let her be a dud. You know, like, please don't let her have no personality, you know, and just like be staring at a wall all the time. And she doesn't. She, like, started crawling, like, a week-ish ago. She's on the move. She's passionate.
She has little teeth already.
Fiery. Yep. She's biting like crazy, and she's definitely not a dud. So there's definitely things about her little tiny passion and heart that I feel like are starting to arise. But I think the most surprising part about having a baby and being a mom is just how consuming it is, like we've already said a zillion times. And, like, babysitting, you clock in, you know, you drive there, you listen to whatever you want on the way there, you know, and then
as loud as you want.
As loud as you want. Yeah, talk to whoever, whatever. You get there, you know, they've already have a plan for dinner, most likely. They're going to go out. You hang out with the kids for an hour or two, put them to bed, and then you have the next 2 hours to do your homework, watch TV, and it's like, babies are just constant. And you see why the mom has that desperate look in her eye when she's getting out the door. She's like, I've got to go. You know, like, I've got to get on a date with my husband. I've got to not be here when, like, I remember how triumphant the moms would look at me when they'd get home and they'd be like, are they asleep? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, okay, you can go. You know, like, they're so excited to have the rest of their evening to do whatever they want to do.
Do you miss your baby when you're away from him? Is that...
Haven't been away yet. On the pushover, remember? Yeah, that's gonna be that question.
I'm away hours every week, and yes, some weeks more than others. It kind of depends on what has been going on with her. I feel like I miss her more whenever she seems like she's not doing okay, because there's a piece of me that wants to be there with her, because I know that I can comfort and soothe her in ways like other people can't. And it's always a relief whenever I come back and they're like, she did great. She didn't cry at all. She's completely fine. I'm like, what? Where was this baby this morning?
She turned it on for the babysitter.
But I mean, that is a legit thing. I mean, children are most often are on their best behavior, even at 3 months old, when others are around, because it goes back to what you said in the very beginning, because they know you. They know that you're going to fully accept them and you're going to take care of their needs, and they're not really sure if this other person is.
Are you safe? I remember you told me that. You were like people act put together, but then there's something about just being with your mom, that when you're with your mom, you're like, I could just let it all out there, you know, if your mom's safe, I guess, technically. But yeah, I do miss her, even when she's sleeping right next to me.
Yeah, so.
I don't know what my problem is. Ask me again in 6 months. Let's do another podcast. Maybe I will have learned more about myself.
If there was anything you could change about being a mom, I know you're a fresh mom, so you're not into it yet. You don't have a toddler walking in on you when you're trying to be in the bathroom by yourself. But if there's anything in these first few that you could change, what would it be?
I don't think... this is changeable necessarily, but the first thing that came to mind, like, my husband and I both work from home, and both of our jobs are pretty flexible, and I wish that maybe somehow, I don't know, it's still early, there's so much room for change and adjustment, but, like, I wish that somehow he would have had the same kind of investment and stake into her sleep schedule as I did. So, like, he can do it if she's in, like, a car seat or, like, in a carrier, but, like, that he would be able to put her to bed or put her to sleep just to give me a break. And I feel like it's discouraging for him, like, when it gets to be 9 p.m. and I just want to get ready for bed and she's, like, done and she's fried and it's, like, she needs me to put her to sleep, but I need to be a human. Like, I wish that that dynamic was a little bit better. And I know it's a short season, but I'm like, if I could change it, I would, like, maybe keep forcing bottles, you know, or maybe just have, like, me feed her and then give him her to him to get soothed and go to sleep, you know, just, like, set that rhythm
sooner.
Start
that rhythm, yeah.
Because I think it would have helped both me and him feel like we had an investment in her sleep schedule. I just wanted to protect him. And I just wanted to be like, no, you get sleep. Like, you can't nurse her, you know, so let me do that in the night. I can sleep in with my job if I need to, but, like, you protect him. And I think looking back, I'm like, maybe if I would have given him a night shift, you know, or one or two, like, then she would have been more familiar with him. But
yeah, I definitely take full credit of that dysfunction that you're talking about, because I was totally that way. I definitely had the infants till one, and then once the toddlers were waked on, would take care of it. So it's coming. He probably can, but
any month now.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the biggest thing for me would have been more consistent healthy rhythms in the context of postpartum, which goes against what we mentioned earlier, of like, just release it all, don't worry about anything. But I think there's still a need. Like, the first 3 weeks, I didn't watch any TV because I was like, oh, if she's sleeping, I want to be sleeping. Like, I don't want to be awake. But then we kind of started laxing on that a little bit more. And I look back at the next 4 or 5 weeks after that, and there is a piece of me that's like, wow, I wish I would have spent more time, like, worshiping, praying, journaling, reflecting on birth, like, these pieces that are, like, fuel for my soul that I didn't do because I didn't have the brain power to do.
Yeah.
And there's so much grace for me in that space of not having the brain power, but also wanting to, what do I fill that space with? And I think it was helpful to not do TV and wish I would have done that longer.
Yeah, that's good.
So good.
All right. Well, I was just going to ask one more question about what do you think God's doing in your life in this new, very vulnerable mothering season?
I think I was 4 months or 5 months pregnant and I was at church and a really sweet friend came up to me just in the hallways and said, hey, I feel like God gave me a picture for you and your baby. I knew she was a girl, and I felt like God, like,
you knew she was a girl.
I knew my baby in my tummy was a girl.
Okay.
I knew the girl was a girl, and the baby in my tummy was a girl. Everyone in this conversation was a woman. But I felt like God had started saying to me, like, hey, Macy, with this firstborn daughter, because I wanted a girl first, like, I'm going to help you love yourself the way I do. Like, I'm essentially going to use her. It's not her job to make you feel loved, but I'm going to use her as, like, an invitation to rewrite my identity, my self-esteem, my self-confidence, all these things, which is crazy now thinking about it. And I'll get to that. Anyways, so I feel like God started telling me that after we found out we were having a baby girl. My friend at church comes up to me and says, I got this picture of you and you're standing over your baby's crib and your baby's a girl and she's just smiling up at you just with, like, so much delight. And you're just smiling down at her with so much delight. And I feel like it's God, like, telling you that he delights in you through your daughter. And he wants to, like, rewrite and share more of his thoughts about you through his baby, or through this baby, through this baby that he's giving you. And it just wrecked me. And I was like, come on. Like,
good.
God, that's, like, affirming everything that you had just been telling me. Fast forward, and Selah is born. And, like, in the days, in the weeks after she was born, I just, like, literally felt the presence of God. We were worshiping in our house. I was, like, sitting outside because it was summertime. And I just was feeling really deeply the presence of God, feeling loved and so thankful to have her. Fast forward about a month or two after that, heading into kind of the phase Kinsey's in now, like, around 2-3 months-ish, I just have this expectation that that I was going to, you know, shrink back to normal. You know, eating extra calories for breastfeeding wasn't going to add pounds. I was going to be burning it off. And
not to mention being exhausted and no sleep and the food that you take to get through the day, not working out, barely even walking.
Like, I definitely thought I would drop weight and be back to my normal self pre-pregnancy than I was or still am. And so I started to really, really get attacked about my self-confidence and my self-esteem and looking in the mirror and getting dressed and wanting to go out of the house. I wouldn't say that the battle is over, but I told girls in my discipleship group when I was struggling with this, I was like, it is worse than when I was in middle school. This battle that I'm in for my self-esteem is worse. I am getting wrecked by lies from the enemy of who he says I am, what my worth is about, what is my worth is determined by all of these different elements. And I can't remember exactly the day. It was somewhere in like the 4 or 5 months-ish, not that long ago. I remember I was like outside and I remember God was like, Macy, do you not remember? Like, I set you up for this battle. Like months and months and months ago, whenever your friend prayed for you, whenever I was speaking life over you, like I have been rewriting your identity all the way down to the deepest parts of you, like all the way back to middle school, Macy. I'm like uprooting and I'm basically doing and fixing and repairing everything in you that has ever been broken, essentially. And that's just really been wrecking me, is like my identity as a mom is tied to my identity as a daughter of the Most High King. And kind of going back to that inner healing I was saying, like he literally wants to wipe clean and wash clean my whole life. Every lie, every insecurity, every doubt, every fear. And if he didn't get it on the first round, he's going to use the things in the next season to get it for the second round. So I'm like, now that I'm a mom, he's using Selah in the best ways to help me be clean and help me be pure and help me be whole when it comes to who I see myself as, my worth, my value, my esteem. And I'm like, wow, God, that's so beautiful. Like the father of the fatherless, the lover of my soul is using my innocent, pure little daughter to help me see myself rightly. I'm like, there's no better way, you know, and it's so kind of him. And she's the perfect person, you know, right, to help me work through it because there's no expectation. So I think that that's been the biggest thing God's been teaching me.
So beautiful. So good. Kins?
I would say less about me, but two of the things I feel like the Lord's really highlighting is there was a point in my birth story where I was like, okay, I think I was in transition, but the way that it showed up for me was me just being like, all right, what do we need to do to get from where we currently are to where we like are done with this? And
exit plan.
Yeah, how close are we? Where are we at? And that like feeling or moment of like being on the brink of breakthrough and being like, when is this going to be over? And then it is, feels like it keeps showing up in different spaces. And I feel like the Lord, that's whenever the Lord's really kind to be like, hey, I'm with you right there too. Like to give you what you need to get to the other side whenever, like, and I feel like it shows up all the time. Like Alice is like not going to sleep and I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you like 4 more minutes. And if you're not asleep by then, we're going to switch it up or do something different. And then she is. And I'm like, great. That was the moment. Like that was the transition. And there just keeps on being these moments of transition. And I just believe that that's the Lord showing me the theme of that in all of life. Like, where's the breakthrough that I'm needing? And even thinking of the song, like, praise before my breakthrough feels present. Of like, Lord, I want to praise you in the middle of that moment of feeling like, I can't do this anymore. I need you to come through and finish what you've started and bring to life. Like, bring the breakthrough. So that feels like one piece. And then the second piece, I feel like it's my theme, is that he said that Alice would be one that brings me like brings me back to union with him. And that as I have a baby, oftentimes people like have a harder time connecting with the Lord or spending time with him. But I feel like in the season, he's like, no, actually, I want it to be the opposite for you. So kind of similar to what Macy was hitting on, it was kind of the opposite than in having her, where I was like, wait a second, no, I'm not feeling as connected to you, or like I'm spending all this time with you. But he was like, no, I'm giving you this promise because I want you to believe it and do it and like let that be what you say over the season instead of feeling like, where's our time going? But instead inviting him into the mundane, in the day-to-day, and getting to see that nurturing part of the Holy Spirit in our day-to-day lives. And so that's been probably the two biggest things that the Lord's unpacking with me in this season.
That's so beautiful. I don't know where it is in Scripture. I've had it memorized at one point in time, but Scriptures say He is tender to those with young. And so that's what I love about the Lord. I think He's so mm-hmm. sweet to totally meet you where you are, you know, and He understands if you don't have the hour and a half quiet time that you used to have now, that you've got a, you know, little being living off yeah. of you. And but I love, Macy, that of taking the time. I mean, I remember that even being here with you in those first couple of weeks, and you're like, I'm going to turn some worship music on, and I'm just going to hold my baby and just praise the Lord.
And eat my fudge sickle.
That was pre-baby. That's what put Macy into labor. She ate 4 fudge sickles a night to get herself powered up.
And
labor.
I walked 3 miles. Okay.
Oh, yeah, up and down the hills of Arkansas.
And,
almost killed me.
Swam. Like,
yeah.
Okay, not the fudge sickles, just made birth a little sweeter, okay? It just put me in labor. Sorry, I didn't mean to turn into the young. Sorry.
All right, so I want to wrap this podcast up, but I want to just say, or just ask you, if you have any anything that you want to say to the mamas out there, any encouragement, anything that the Lord has revealed or showed to you, or anything that you've learned, or any encouragement that you want to give the mamas out there, I guess the daddies too, anybody that's listening, anybody at all.
For all of you out there, listeners, I think there's a lot of things. I think I would just sum it up as a brand new mom, that I think when I got married, that I was like, this is what is supposed to make me holy. You know, like Jesus died so that I had a way to Jesus, but my marriage is going to like really refine me, you know, and those first years of marriage were just hard. But having a baby is the next level. You know, I think that's why God put it in order that way. You know, it's like He really did design marriage and covenant with His plan in mind to refine us and make us like Jesus in the church. But being a mom is like full of sacrifice and surrender and humility of like, I need the Holy Spirit's guidance and help in
and
this
identity.
Moment.
I mean, you spoke yes. that into you question identity. Your very being of...
Yeah, it's like I highly encourage any parent that's listening to this that does not have a personal relationship with God, like, spend time with Him, because to be the best parent you can possibly be the best spouse you can be, to be the best friend, the best sibling, like, any relationship, you have got to have a dependence on God. It's the only way to live like in the overflow, an overflow of grace and of joy. And yeah. So I think that's my encouragement / exhortation challenge is like, please go spend time with God. Yeah. You know, it's like the best thing out there. And it's what is best for the relationships in your life. And I think motherhood has taught me that on a whole nother level, that it's for my holiness that God is allowing me to be a mom. But I need Him like day in and day out to be a mom too.
That's so good. And just to, you know, speak into that a little bit, I know a lot of the times first moms are, you're just adjusting to the demand of your time. You know, you used to wake up in the morning and have an amazing, you know, time with the Lord. You could do it before you went to bed, you know, any time of the day, during your lunch break, whenever. And that's radically different. So it doesn't have to look like it did. A meeting with the Lord could be anything. Of course, Scripture could be involved, a worship music, a walk, just a conversation between you and the Lord. It could be, Macy's just rattled off. It could be crying. It could be loving. It could be a godly conversation. And so just open your parameters up to your definition of what hanging out with the Lord looks like. And just know that just even sitting in your rocking chair, rocking your baby, and praising the Lord and, you know, being filled with gratefulness and peace and surrender, that counts, if you will, as spending time with the Lord.
Yeah, to moms and dads out there, I would say you are intercessors. One of my friends recommended interceding or praying over your baby every time you breastfeed, just to have like 3 or 4 times, or 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, depending on what your rhythm is, times of praying over your baby. And so just thinking of no matter what season, whether it's like making their lunches in the morning or like picking them up from school or cleaning up your toddler's toys, like what is the monotonous daily thing that you do and how can that be a space to intercede, to connect with the Lord, doing the dishes, changing the sheets? How do we as parents invite Jesus into those moments and let that be fuel to intercede and pray, or if praying for the nations would be a time to do that, or if you have friends that are in other countries or even like pastors in America that are on the front lines, what does it look like for us to use our homes and our day-to-day spaces as mothers and fathers to bring Jesus back sooner and to bring heaven to earth in our homes? So I'd say that's the biggest I guess encouragement or recommendation or thing that I even want to do more of is praying through the day to day.
So good.
We are going to wrap this thing up. Thank you for listening, and thanks for being just a parent who wants to know more about God and how to build the relationships in their lives. If you have more questions or you heard something in this podcast that you want to discuss more, please email us at podcast@crazycoolfamily.com. I, Macy, actually respond to those emails, so I would love your feedback of this was awesome, these are more questions. And as always, we are just praying for you, new moms and dads, current moms and dads, empty nester mom and dads, grandparents, anywhere you fall on the spectrum. We really love you guys and we want to support you. So we're just praying for you in this season and that the Holy Spirit would lead you.
As you've been scrolling along on your social media, have you seen anything good lately? What about following us, Crazy Cool Family? Already following us? Then share the next post you see or tell a friend about our platforms. Help us spread the word, God's word, about building families His way. Follow us on social media today by clicking the links in our show notes.